There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next couple of hours, and the first day of one-a-days for me, and it's been great. I've got up this morning, got started preparing, the kids getting ready for school, something I haven't done in their lifetimes because I've worked morning radio for decades and did that. Tuned in, was listening right along with you to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, and enjoyed it immensely. Listened to it as I was heading to carpool, heading into the office. It was a good thing. So I think I'm going to keep those guys around. Pretty fantastic. So check them out if you have not heard it yet. You can hear it tomorrow morning as Dan Brennan, now part of our family here, and it's Mobile Mornings. Dr. Bill's there, Kane's there, all those features you love, and even more features. And, of course, the great back and forth from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. So check it out tomorrow morning starting at 6. All right, coming up on this midday show thing I do, lots to do today. In hour number two of the show, Dale Leish from Lanyap joins me to talk about the... I guess it was Saturday. When did the announcement actually go out? I think it was yesterday my phone started blowing up. I have to go through and look. With the announcement that Mobile City Councilman Fred Richardson is running for mayor. Now, people are like, are you shocked when they sent me this information? I said, not shocked. I know that that's been kind of the plan for a while, but the timing of the announcement seems a little bit early in this mayoral cycle. Is there any reason Councilman Fred Richardson announces this earlier? Is he trying to get in front of other people that would be getting in to run against the incumbent, Sandy Stimson? Does he know something out here? Well, Dale Leish has been looking into it, and he'll join us in hour number two of the show, so a little after 1 o'clock. Also coming up this hour, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about what's going on right now as the RNC, I guess it started. The RNC has started, but at the same time, you've got like this opening salvo here, and then you've got kind of a virtual convention as well. The president, we'll get some of the clips from the president, what he's saying to get things open. But yes, if you were wondering, the president did get the nod from the RNC. He is the nominee, if you were wondering about that. All right, and then we'll start off this hour as well with the discussion with our staff meteorologist and tropical weather expert, Dr. Bill Williams, because, of course, we've got lots to talk about with Marco and Laura. And Dr. Bill joins us now. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon. So bring us up to date. Where are we? I guess let's go with Marco first, and then we'll talk some Laura. What about Marco? Where is it? What is it?
Well, Marco has really fallen apart. Wind shear, that is, stronger winds aloft, have just destroyed the storm. All of the thunderstorm activity that normally develop around the core of a tropical system simply got blown away, and they moved off to the northeast. And they're getting tremendous amounts of rain in the Florida Panhandle over to Apalachicola. But the center of Marco, which is to the south of us and not too far away from the mouth of the Mississippi River, it's just a low-level swirl of clouds. The upper part of the storm has just been blown away by the winds aloft. And now Marco will just sort of continue on over to the coast of Louisiana and then work its way westward, possibly on land or just along the coastline, and it's basically fallen apart. But some of the rains will continue over the Florida Panhandle. We may see some of those drift into our area. But that's about it for that storm.
Okay, so you've talked always about shear and how shear reduces tropical activity. So we saw an example of that with Marco.
Oh, definitely. The winds were from the southwest to northeast in the upper atmosphere, and therefore it just tore the top part of that storm off, caused all the thunderstorms to drift away from the center, and were located 100 or more miles off to the northeast of the storm. So it basically could not grow, could not intensify with those strong winds aloft. The hurricanes, tropical storms and hurricanes do a lot better when there's more of a light wind aloft, and then the whole engine there of the system can develop, bringing in the moisture and all the condensation that takes place, and then expelling a lot of heat out through the top of the storm. And but if that's if that vertical column in the heart of that storm is disrupted and broken and sheared off on the top, then the storm falls apart. And that's what happened to Marco. And I mean, it was in an environment there, as far as the water is concerned, the Gulf is very, very warm. A lot of people will say, well, the Gulf is warm, we should have a lot of activity, we have hurricanes. Well, that's only one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The upper air does not agree with the storm. With a light environment, no shearing occurring, or very light shearing, if that occurs, then the storm will develop. But if it's too strong, like we saw with Marco, the storm will fall apart.
Okay, so now we've got, and here comes Laura next in line. What about, let's talk with shearing. Let's start off, is that shearing going to be in place as Laura approaches?
That's the interesting thing. The upper air winds that now are tearing Marco apart, they're drifting to the north now, getting on up into the continental U.S. and away from the Gulf, and the Gulf is now going to develop a light shearing environment, and that's where Laura comes in. And the amazing thing about Laura so far, it has gone over the islands of the Caribbean. It went across Hispaniola with 10,000 foot mountains. It has been across Cuba. It's just south of Cuba, and after all that, it still has maintained an amazing circulation. And so once it goes out into the open waters of the Gulf, which will occur certainly tomorrow, then the conditions in the upper atmosphere will be favorable. We do expect it to intensify. If not initially in the southeast Gulf, certainly by the middle of the Gulf it will. And it is, looks like it will take a track that will take it into Louisiana, but more of the western coastline of Louisiana over toward Lake Charles, and that will occur Wednesday night and early Thursday. It possibly could be a major hurricane, which is a Category 3 or better.
Mm.
I think very likely it will be a Category 2, but it could be stronger than a 2. And it depends very much on how fast it is moving. But the conditions are there, and this could be a very significant hurricane.
We talk about a Category 3, and we talk about the wind, but what about the water pushed up? If you're talking about southwest Louisiana, I've spent some time there. That's there's not a lot of relief as you come from the Gulf
isn't.
Inland. It's low.
Yeah, and this is in an area that in the past has had some catastrophic results of some hurricanes like Audrey in 1957, in which there were over 500 fatalities in Cameron, Louisiana. And that's in that particular area. So those people now, they do evacuate. In 1957, they didn't, and they waited to the last minute, and there was no escape. Since then, any storms that threaten, they do evacuate that area. But this one's going to head over and appears into the western coastline of Louisiana, and that will be a couple of days off. But you'll be hearing about it a lot because it'll be probably a significant storm as it moves across the middle of the Gulf.
Well, if it's coming into the southeastern Gulf and then going into southwestern Louisiana, it's got to make a pass to our south. So what effects do we see in Mobile and Baldwin County and down on the beaches from a pass-by for Laura?
Yeah, it's going to rough the seas up. And once it gets over toward Louisiana, we'll see an increase in and water levels along the coast. That is, the tides will be a little greater. We don't have a grasp yet exactly what that figure will be, but we'll feel the effects, and also because this storm will most likely be a very sizable one in area, that we will see an increase in shower and thunderstorm activity Wednesday and Thursday as that storm moves through the central and then into the northwestern Gulf. After it goes on shore into Louisiana, it will turn more to the northeast and run off through Tennessee. And unfortunately, what that will do for us, it keeps us in the very warm, humid air. And so the second half of the week, all that tropical air coming in off the Gulf will be in our area. And so we can look for a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity the second half of the week, although it'll be mainly during the afternoon hours. It still looks like a very wet weather pattern all the way into the weekend.
All right. And before we wrap, once again, you talk about, I know we're days out here, but as it does come by, pressure drops, you get the winds from Laura. Do you see what kind of flooding potential along the coast? I mean, you think of place like Dauphin Island, where the water will breach the west end, or places like that. Are we looking at that kind of chance of flooding?
We'll have to see how big the storm gets and how intense it gets when it moves out into the Gulf. If it does become a very large storm, or two or three, and that's the possibility, we will see some coastal flooding. But we'll have a little better idea here in the next 24 to 36 hours what's going to happen with that with the storm.
All right, so that's in our future, and Marco may provide us some more thunderstorms this afternoon, but that's going to be the main effect for us.
Yeah, we could see some more showers and some scattered thunderstorm activity. It's a lot of it going on, even as far west as Pensacola now. But that's about the worst of it, and hopefully we'll keep Laura to our west also and keep it away from our area.
All right, Dr. Bill, we appreciate the update. Thank you very much.
Okay, Sean.
All right, our staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, Dr. Bill Williams with an update. And, you know, we do this all hurricane season long. Get you the updates, and man, that's been forecasting them for four decades here along the Gulf Coast. Our guy, Dr. Bill Williams. All right, Todd Stacey, my buddy from Alabama Daily News, joins us coming up next. Stay right there. News is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1222, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. You see a headline just came out right now. I just put it up on the Twitter feed as well. Tuscaloosa is closing all bars for 14 days to slow the spread of COVID-19. 14 days. Shut down starting 5 p.m. So this afternoon at 5, I guess, inside the city limits, which I know some places in Northport that'll be popping. But Tuscaloosa is closing all bars for 14 days to slow the spread of COVID-19. Unintended consequences from that may be that student grades rise. But let me find out. My buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Well, I'm not a champion of this heavy-handedness out of the mayor, Maddox, there in Tuscaloosa. There may be some parents that are very happy with what comes of this.
Maybe. And I think, you know, the writing was on the wall when we saw images and videos, really, for the last two weekends from Tuscaloosa. Just, you know, folks crowding up in bars, outside of bars. Really, some of the more egregious were coming from Auburn, especially this past weekend. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the same thing from the city of Auburn. What it sounded like from Mayor Maddox's announcement just about an hour ago was that this came in consultation, if not at the request of the university. So they're working very closely together. Obviously, it also comes on the heels of the university shutting down all student gatherings, all non-educational student gatherings. That means Greek life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that means on and off campus. Some people forget that a lot of these campuses, these colleges, have the authority to regulate student behavior off campus too. So, really interesting move. I mean, what they're not saying, but I think we know this is wrapped up in all of it, is football, right? They're really being sensitive about how much campus, COVID spread happens, because if it exceeds a certain point, we don't know what that is, but if it starts climbing, then that's going to threaten football, and that's the big thing that nobody wants. So, yeah, pretty big news out of Tuscaloosa.
Yep, and then you and I were talking during the news break there, too. You think, as goes Tuscaloosa, go other college towns in Alabama, like Auburn?
I think so. And look, so both, I think Tuscaloosa reported, in their update today, reported 249 campus infections of COVID. That's not from the big campus-wide testing of everybody. That's from folks that are just coming and getting tested. Auburn reported 200. So right there, really in line together in terms of campus populations. Now, whether you think that's a lot or a little, I guess, is a matter of scale and perspective. We don't know how many kids were tested.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you got to think, you start getting over 200 positive tests, even though it's a fraction of the overall campus population, you still got to start wondering, all right, is this a trend? So, you know, I would think, especially in Auburn, what they said after those images came over AL.com last night, I mean, there were videos, these bars, people just dancing all up on each other. I mean, certainly no distancing going on, and certainly no mask wearing going on. So what the university said was that they're going to investigate it and then take whatever appropriate action. But again, a lot of that came last night. So, you know, whether we'll see it today or tomorrow, I don't know. But I would expect to see something similar out of Auburn.
That AL.com portion of it, I mean, your take as a journalist, was that straight journalism, or is that trying to steer things their way? You know what I'm saying? Is that activism to go out and say, look at the video, look here?
Well, I mean, if you've been to those bars in Auburn, you can just stand on the sidewalk and take a picture. They did the same thing in Tuscaloosa, some pictures that we ran. Maybe they weren't as egregious in terms of the, it was pretty shocking to see some of that stuff come out last night. To me, a photograph or a video of a public place is not, you know, activism. What you say after it could be, and I didn't follow everything the reporter said, but she could have been trying to make a point. But look, part of that reporting said that, you know, police ended up coming up and giving pieces of paper. They wouldn't say what kind of pieces of paper, but where are they supposed to be at, about 50% occupancy?
Yeah.
You know, doesn't look like that, and certainly no rules about social distancing being enforced. So look, you know, if you want to be open, you need to try to follow the rules. Otherwise, they may close you down, and that goes for students and bar owners.
So what's going to happen? And I guess people are going to retreat to their homes and have parties as well. I mean, that's
You're not going to stop it completely. You're not. I was in college. Goodness gracious, I had a good time. Everybody knows it. Who was around me then, but we're in an unprecedented time here, and I think it's interesting that there's this sort of tension going on between, you know, students who, you know, really aren't taking much precaution at all, and then you've got the athletes who are basically in a bubble taking a ton of precautions, and some of them getting pretty frustrated at students who aren't. So dichotomy, that tension is really interesting, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Well, and I think it's going to be a question, too, that if you start canceling football games, then people will say, oh, well, wait a second. Then let's go back to, if we got to do this thing, make sure the football games get played because the players are in the bubble and all that. But then you have, I don't know, X number of players test positive, whatever would be the benchmark. And they say, okay, the matchup this weekend is off. Then if I'm the students, I'm like, well, wait a second. If that's off, then we don't have to keep, let's open the bars back up.
You know, I guess it's a chicken and egg kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you say, we're canceling games because y'all didn't act right. I think the only way they cancel football games is if they get to the point of infections on campus, whether it's Auburn, Alabama, and others, where it is, you know, perceived as a dangerous situation to let a bunch of folks into the stadium or whatever. I don't think that's a long way from now. That's 4.5 weeks, I guess, from now is when we're supposed to be starting football. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time to do good things, a lot of time to do bad things. But it is just generally a really bad idea for hundreds of students, if not, some of those bars can pack 1,000, hundreds of students to to be dancing up on each other, not masked up, you know, just close as they could be in a bar. It's just a bad idea. I don't know if any transmissions took place. I just know that that's a really good environment for them to. And so, yeah, if you want campus to remain open, if you want, you know, football to actually happen this fall, doing that and then going to class is a really bad idea.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We'll talk about how to get signed up for one of those things that, you know how you open your email and your eyes quickly scan, you're like, oh no, oh, what's that? Oh, that's junk. That, oh, why? Oh, I got to get back with that person. Then you see things in your email that you go, oh, cool, let's open this first. You'll want to get signed up so you have that kind of moment each weekday morning and once on the weekends as well. We'll talk more about that and some state news, and we'll talk about the RNC. It's convention time for the Republicans.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 1065 and Midday Mobile. Online at FMTalk1065.com, plus the 53 hours a week of live local programming that we're creating from right here, right here in the studio, very close to Airport and I-65, where if you haven't noticed, death-defying driving stunts are done with great regularity on the service road. I went out about an hour and a half ago. Lucky to have made it back. But yeah, 53 hours a week, go to the podcast page. You can go straight to fmtalk1065.com, click podcast, get it a la carte there, or better yet, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. Really, if there's a podcast platform out there, we're on there waiting for you. And talk about ubiquitous. Talk about you got to hide without seeing something from aldailynews.com, we continue our conversation with Todd Stacey. And Todd, tell folks, too, how to get that email waiting for you in your inbox. It's a nice thing to start your day off. So how hard is this process? Is it laborious to do this?
It's really easy, Sean. And the best part is, as you know, it's free.
Cha-ching.
Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email. And then you're on the list. There's no cost at all, but you'll get our daily update. It comes out about 8 o'clock every day, where it's the rundown of all the top news, whether that's from state news here in Montgomery or around the state, or from Washington, D.C. And we're following the conventions. We're following the elections. We've got 71 days till the election. How about that? But we'll be glad to have you as a subscriber to Alabama Daily News.
I do want to get to some of that great state reporting as well, but yes, let's go. Let's go national, because you mentioned the convention here, and you've detailed in this morning's email the RNC what to watch. So what should we watch here?
Well, obviously, it's a different styled convention than in years past, right? They're not going fully online. They're not going fully virtual like the Democrats did. There are still going to be, you know, maybe a couple hundred convention attendees in Charlotte. But much of it is going to be, you know, online, like including the president. The president won't be going to Charlotte to accept the nomination. He'll do that from the White House as planned. One interesting thing that has happened lately, I guess it got revealed last night, is the platform, the GOP platform. Now, this is really for your insiders and old-timers maybe, but the platform of the party used to be what a lot of people really got into, especially folks that have been around the party a long time. So you went to make sure that your you know, strict platform positions on, let's say it's abortion or immigration or just whatever the issue is inside the party platform, so that moving forward, whatever Congress does, whatever states do, you can say that is in the Republican Party's platform. Well, that's not going to happen this year, partly because there's not going to be a full convention, and partly because, well, I mean, and the style of the president is such that really he's the one dominating the policy conversation. So basically they said, look, no formal policy platform is going to be adopted this year. We're just saying we support President Trump, his American First policies, and that's the end of it until next time we meet in 2024. That's really interesting, and I don't think it's really going to be much of a problem for many people, but for some older party folks, might be a little disappointing.
You can't see because we're on radio. I'm raising my hand as what it, and this is, people have a tough time with this, because if I, you know, say this, they'll say, well, he's not supporting the president. Now, I don't want to see, and this is a discussion for another day, but I don't want to see cults of personality domination of politics, and where the party is defined by the person who's at the top of the party right then versus some set of standards. Now, I know I'm a stick in the mud and I'm a throwback and rule of law person, but I want to know what the standards of the party are, and then you find the best person to carry those forward. But that's not, believe me, I realize I'm old thinking. That's not popular these days.
Yeah, I'm afraid the horse has left the barn on that one. But there's a lot of things to look forward to, but ultimately it comes down to this. This is the president's chance to really get back some of that momentum that he lost over the last several months, to really state his case. We heard from the Democrats. We understand that they think the president and what he has done is really bad, and they think they can fix it, and it's the end of the world until you elect Joe Biden. We have heard that message. Now is the president's time to kind of redirect in courtroom terms to say, look, here's why he's done everything he's done. Here's his vision. Here's how we're doing on the coronavirus. Here's what the future holds. And I think it could be an opportunity for him to justify some of the decisions he's made without just this echo chamber of media trying to pick at him at every turn. So look, party conventions aren't what they used to be, but I still think it's a real big opportunity to own the stage, to hear from the president and not just him, but the rest of, upper people in the Republican Party for this week to make the case for a second term.
All right. So how much of this you're talking about, how he's done on Corona or whatever? How many people, number one, I mean, you're speaking to, party folks, they're locked in, they're going to vote for President Trump. But how many people, and I don't know, what percentage is left out there really that's in play, that are going to make, I mean, I guess there are people, but are they going to score how the response has been to coronavirus as the decision, their only decision for who they vote for? It's surprising to me. I could be wrong, but it surprises me.
I think it's a big thing, and I also think it's a little bit fluid. Early on in this outbreak, the president was getting really high marks for, his response, partly because he was out there every day at the podium, leading the charge. Sometimes he'd even flub something up. It didn't matter because he's out there the next day cleaning it up. And so, early on, remember back to March, his approval rating was going really high in the 60s because of his response to this. Then it started to, to really decline, partly because I think he quit going out there every day. And partly because, I think the reason behind that was, at least it was reported, that they didn't want to make this virus just a daily thing and just dominating all the time, which is understandable. But that's just the way it was. And I think the decision to sort of downplay it was really bad. There was no chance this virus was going to go away anytime soon. And so now they're trying to get that back. Now, here's the thing. I think he's got an excellent opportunity in terms of the coronavirus and the corresponding economic trouble, is to just say why, explain the different moves he's made. Don't spend a ton of time on it, but say why, make it completely reasonable, and then give people a future to look forward to. So here's what's coming. Here's how we're going to deal with it. The worst thing they could do as far as coronavirus at the convention or at the White House is downplay it. And you saw that last night. They've got this plasma treatment. You're going to be seeing them roll out other warp speed initiatives. And that's the right thing to do. And so maybe he can get some of that back.
Yeah, the thing that drives me crazy here is that, you're talking about, okay, he's going to talk about the plasma. The plasma is already getting impugned right and left by people on the left out there. Before I can hear more on the science, people have already jumped to the conclusion. We're in a situation, at least for a lot of folks out there, that if the president, it depends on how they're wired, who they support, but if President Trump likes a drug or suggests a drug or a treatment, then based on politics, then it's good or it's bad. I mean, this is a scary point. There are people who, obsess with, hydrochloroquine or something. They would never get it because that's what Trump talked about. Well, there are, some doctors out there that say, hey, this is what you ought to use. And people say, wow, that's, they judge a drug or whatever treatment going forward based on the person that said the first thing they heard about it. It's crazy to me.
Oh yeah, and that makes me want to bang my head against the wall on in either case. This seems different though. Now, I think what some doctors have said is we're rushing it a little bit because
all the clinical trials haven't gone through and everything like that. And I can understand that. But we are also in a special situation. And I don't think it's a bad move to go ahead and get out there and say, hey, here is a treatment that looks really promising, had some great results at the Mayo Clinic and a couple other places. No, we haven't done the exhaustive years-long process that the FDA usually goes through, but that's impossible right now.
Right.
And you know, it's. I think it was the right thing to go ahead and get it out there. The FDA leader was fine with it, and there's a couple of folks expressing skepticism, which is what happens in the scientific community, but that's different than outright trashing it in the name of politics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a doctor that does that on either side of the aisle, find another doctor.
Well said. All right. Quick question from Dan, then I want to talk some state news. Dan said, will there be, let's move around. Will there be any Trump dissenting Republicans to speak, do you think, during this convention? I wouldn't imagine. What's your thought?
No, I don't expect any. I mean, look, they learned that lesson with Ted Cruz 4 years ago. I think it was made to be a little more dramatic than it was, but when he said vote your conscience, you know, that's that was a big deal. So no, I don't think any people that aren't 100% on board with Trump are going to see. What'll be interesting, and they haven't announced any yet, but there, you know, there were a handful of Republicans or historically Republicans that spoke at the Democratic convention. I wonder if any traditionally Democratic supporters might speak at this one. You know, somebody whose name starts with a K and ends with Kanye West.
That would be, you know what, that would bring in, obviously, the entertainment, you know, because usually the Democrats have the Republicans beat on the entertainers, right? That'll play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah, absolutely. But that's not why you go. You know, I really hate, maybe, I hope we'll get back to a full convention sometime soon. I encourage people who are in the party to sign up for that kind of stuff and nominate yourself, because it's a fun time. But again, hopefully it becomes more about being a Republican in the future than just about supporting one guy.
Let's talk about a couple of state news stories. And I want to go to this one first, because this story, Todd, stays with me, man. I don't know. It's like I bet you, I think it once a week still. And that is the death of Cupcake McKinney. And you know, 3-year-old in Birmingham. And you know, listen here, that two people have pled, or as they write it these days, pleaded not guilty to federal kidnapping charges. But where are we with this story? When's justice for this? It's a horrific story.
It is. It continues to be. And look, today's news brief was just an update on, you know, they had their arraignment. This is in federal court. They're being charged on federal crimes, kidnapping charges. And, you know, so they had their arraignment. That's what happens. And they pleaded. Yes, they pleaded not guilty. But you hate to judge things before they actually get to play out in court. But based on the media reports, based on what we saw through what was reported and what the police said, it's going to be probably an uphill battle for these two individuals, and it was so senseless.
That's horrible.
It's the cutest little girl in the world getting abducted at a birthday party. Just awful. So hopefully the prosecution goes well, justice is served, and whoever is responsible pays a heavy price.
Guaranteed. And then the latest here on Will Dismukes, we've been talking about that name here for a couple months now, facing legal trouble here in Montgomery.
Yeah, now this is the guy, Will Dismukes. He's a state representative from Prattville who got into hot water because he went to the Nathan Bedford Forrest birthday party at this place called Fort Dixie. And, I mean, as we all know, Nathan Bedford Forrest was not only a Confederate general, but the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. So that was obviously a, you know, questionable thing to do, to say the least, for a state representative. He's been criticized up and down. Was ousted from his pastorship at a local church, but about a week later was charged with felony theft in Montgomery County. So really a tough couple of weeks. Now his arraignment has been set, and that's going to be September 3rd. So not going to be a really quick case, I don't think. In fact, you may see a plea deal before that, I'm told, but.
What does that mean for his status in the legislature then?
Well, if he is convicted of a crime, a felony, by a state court, then he would automatically be removed. That includes confessing, you know, to a crime or agreeing to a guilty plea. So I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe he could plead down. The circumstances of this theft are pretty complicated, and I mean, I don't think we even know everything yet. It involves a former employer. He used to work at a carpet business and then started his own carpet business. And so I think a lot of it has to do with some cash and some equipment maybe that was, they say is stolen, he may have thought was his. So I think there's going to be a lot of dispute here in this actual court case. But what it has done, though, it has taken a political situation and made it a legal situation. And the combination of those two, to me, is going to make life pretty difficult for Will Dismukes moving forward.
Could it also be somewhat of a attack, though, to say this is use the political to influence the criminal side or vice versa and say this is being brought against me by this person, they're put up to it because of what I said or what, you know, being at the birthday party or something like that, then try to get people rallied to your side because it's not about I didn't steal anything from them, they're setting me up because they can't figure out how to get a guy like me out.
Absolutely. And so and that's what his lawyer said when we talked to him outside the courthouse after he got booked. So, I mean, Trey Norman, his lawyer, said, look, you got to look at the timing of this. It's coming right on the heels of all this controversy over the Confederate stuff, the Klan stuff. However, the district attorney of Montgomery County was clear about, hey, this case has been around since May. It preceded all that. But you can't help but think, yeah, maybe they sped it up or something, because Darrell Bailey, who's the prosecutor in Montgomery County, I mean, he's got to get reelected too. He's a white Democrat in a predominantly black Democratic county. So, you know, they won't come right out and say that, but that's what Dismukes and company are basically alleging by saying, hey, the timing here is fishy.
There you go. All right. It's more to report on this, and you can get that email in your inbox each morning or just check it out at aldailynews.com. Todd, as always, we appreciate your time, and we appreciate what you're doing up there, keeping an eye on things. Thank you.
You bet, Sean. Be good.
All right. Todd Stacy. Coming right back. We got a few minutes here for the top of the hour news, and then we'll talk to Dale Leash with Lanyap. The announcement's been made. Councilman Fred Richardson running for mayor. We'll give you the slogan, too. He's rolled that out as well. It's all straight ahead.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:56 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, coming up next hour, we'll talk to Dale Leash with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Lots to talk about with him, and we'll also get into the world's oldest shark. Did you see that thing, Dalton? The oldest shark? This, what is it, a Greenland shark? They're saying it has been around since the 1600s. Look at the shark that they say been around since the 1600s. News to me. I know that was a thing. But yeah, so they've got we'll talk about it next hour. This is crazy. Crazy story. Like, think about the old critters. You're always, you know, like elephants and, you know, other. But yeah, there it is. 393-year-old Greenland shark. So we'll talk about that. All right, coming up next hour with Dale Leash, we'll talk about Councilman Fred Richardson announcing his campaign for mayor of the city of Mobile. Slogan here, somebody was asking me on the text line a second ago. The slogan is, no vote, no hope, stay woke. Is that iambic pentameter, Dalton? Is it? No vote, no hope, stay woke. All right. So not a real big surprise, the announcement that, I mean, I felt like that was coming, Councilman Richardson running for mayor in the 2021 municipal election. It seems early for the announcement for me, but maybe he's wanting to get in front of other people. Hey, coming up, like I said, Dale Leash push. We'll check in with Larry Kirby from LCM. Lots to do on this Midday Mobile. Glad you're along.